Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So we are, as a church, in what we call Vision Month. And so we are unpacking what it means to be a church purposed for others. And it is an exciting thing that we feel God is calling us to focus on this year, to be others orientated. And I just want you to give it up for Kaylee Karotz, everybody, because she preached such a cracker of a message last week. So encouraging, so strengthening for us. And so we had our all-in team night. Like Kaylee said, it was an amazing time together. And team is all about serving others. And that's really part of why we exist. So last week we talked about stir them up. This week we're talking about love and good deeds. And we're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, 24 to 25. There's lots of debate about who wrote the book of Hebrews. I think it was Paul. That's just me. And feel free to disagree. It's fine. Not publicly, okay? Like, we can talk about it later. It's fine. But Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And really the anchor heart of this month, and for us it's not just a month, it's our whole year, that this really is going to guide what we feel like God is doing in our church. And Ann Nicholson on our production team, she said this, she said, "We grow the most when we help someone else grow." And that's really what Hebrews here is actually highlighting. It's highlighting that, like Kaylee said last week, you want to be strong. The writer's saying, be strong in the Lord, grow in God. But also in Hebrews 5 verse 12, the writer says, by now you should be teaching others. And so the writer can see that in this church, maturity isn't just what you've got. The real sign that you're mature, that you're growing in Christ, is that you're teaching others. That you've moved from just consumption to now contribution. And here's the thing, everybody. Church is not meant to be consumed. Church is not about consume. We're not here to consume church. That would be weird, because church is people. Church is the body. Church is the ecclesia. We aren't here to consume church. We're here to build the church. We're here to strengthen one another. And that's why the writer is saying, hey, move from just consumption to teaching others, to helping others, to being others orientated. Tony Moylan, our GM, he took about our giving moment this morning in our 8:30 service, and it was so awesome. He said this beautiful thing, the scripture that says God gives seed to the sower and bread for you to eat. He said, don't eat the seed. Eat the bread. Right? Who likes bread? Come on, who likes carbs? Be real today. Everyone's like, oh, carbs are bad. No, carbs are great. Yeah. But eat the bread, sow the seed. And in our world, often we're eating the bread and the seed. God will supply both. Listen to this. God loves you, cares about you. He'll supply both. But it's our job to discern what's to be eaten and what's to be sown. And I loved what Tony was saying. This is what we want to be as a church. We don't want to be consuming what we should be sowing, what we should be giving. And he also said this other beautiful thing. He said, when you are a conduit, you get blessed twice. This word blessed means happy and favored. So when you are a conduit, meaning you are others oriented, you're giving things away, time, love, investment in people. You're a conduit, so you get blessed when you receive, but you also get blessed when you give. And in fact, Jesus said you're more blessed when you give. You are happier and you are more favored and more fulfilled when your life is orientated towards others. And it is towards love and good deeds that we are stirring each other up into. That's what we're going to talk about today. So Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for this beautiful church, our beautiful school. Thank you for all you're doing. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen, amen. Holly Benson, you may get out of here. Give it up for Holly. Oakland loves Holly. She babysits him on a Wednesday, and he's like, oh, it's my girlfriend. Yeah. So calm down, mate. All right. So I want to talk about a couple of things today, a couple of things. First thing, what I want to touch on here is that when we move from being all about us and we move to being others focused, two byproducts are going to show up. Two things I believe are going to show up in our environment, in our church, in our heart, in the way we do life. Two things. The first one is joy. Joy. Joy is going to show up in your life and in your faith and in your walk with God when it's not all about you. Joy shows up. I love this letter from Paul to Philemon, not Phil Lemon, Philemon. 1-7. Paul said this all the time. Paul would write letters and he'd say, oh, what's happening in Ephesus? It brings me great joy. What's happening in Corinthians? Bringing me great joy. Paul was constantly filled with joy at what was happening in others. He was in prison, by the way. Partying in prison about what was happening in the lives of others. You can be in a difficult circumstance and still have joy. Doesn't mean God doesn't see your circumstance. It just means that you're not so focused on it. You can still have joy because you've got perspective of what God is doing in others. Joy. Philemon, he says this, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. And the context of this is that Onesimus, what a great name Onesimus is. We're going to have Oakland and Onesimus. And Onesimus, he was a slave. He was actually a slave of Philemon's. And Philemon, he gets saved, and then Onesimus escapes thinking he needs to get away, and then Onesimus gets saved. And Onesimus now is with Paul, and Paul is really proud of Onesimus and all that's happening in his life. So he says, Onesimus, you need to go back to Philemon, and you need to go be with him. And so he's writing to Philemon about what God is doing through him. Philemon is helping others, and Paul is celebrating how Philemon is now helping others. And this is a beautiful picture of making disciples, that you go from just helping one person become a disciple to now helping them make disciples. And now we are creating momentum in a church that is not orientated around just what am I getting, what is God doing in my life, but focused on others. And it breeds joy. It breeds great joy. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, he didn't see to the cross, he saw through the cross. He had X-ray vision on that cross. He had something bigger in mind than just the cross. He had something greater that he was moving toward than just the cross. The cross was the door, but the promise was the joy. Who is the joy? You. You're the joy that was set before. The church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, is the joy that Jesus was moving toward, fulfilling the assignment and the call of God in his life, and he had joy in front of him. We need to keep people in front of us. Why are we here? It's not just for us. It's for others. keep the why in front of you. Keep your neighbors, like Shah, in front of you. Keep your friends. Keep your connect group. Keep people in front of you. And it produces joy. This is the why. And we want a church that's just full of joy all the time. Everywhere we are, from Avalon to Parramatta, full of joy. But it happens when we move from being me-istic, narcissistic, to focus on that. Look at Luke 15:7. It says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Heaven is rejoicing when somebody comes to Christ. When one person gets saved, heaven is full of joy. And that's, don't get caught up in just the 99. Get caught up in the rejoicing. Position your life in the rejoicing. How are you doing? Position your life in the rejoicing. How do you do that? You make it about the one. Not about comfort. Not about me. Let's make it about the one. And let's join Jesus on his search party for the one. That's where the party is. That's where the joy is. That's where you're going to have your greatest experience of God, is when you move to being out there focused, not just on me. So it produces joy. And that's the kind of church we want to be. Fulfillment. So joy and fulfillment are the byproducts of an others-orientated church. Fulfillment, John 4, 31 to 38. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, this is Jesus saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And they were all very confused by this. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Andrew, Simon, who was it? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So Jesus had fulfillment outside of just what the disciples understood as food. Here's the context of the story. Jesus comes to a well. It's in Samaria. And in this well, there's a woman. It's midday. You've heard me talk about this before. It's one of my favorite stories. Jesus, he goes to a place called Samaria, not some area, a place called Samaria. And he goes through it. He actually didn't have to go through it. It wasn't actually the path you would go through to where they were going to Jerusalem, but he actually decided to go through, and he goes through. It's about midday, and he gets there, and there's a woman at the well. But normally, you wouldn't be at the well at midday because it's way too hot. You would be early or late because it's in the cool of the day. But this woman, she comes in the middle of the day because she's trying to avoid people, and there's no one at the well in the middle of the day. No one goes, but she goes, and when she gets there, she avoids everybody except God. And if I was God's PR team, I'd be saying, Jesus, what are you doing? Naughty Jesus. You're spending all this time on one person. You only got 3 years. Let's go. You know, let's get the word out. Let's get all the whole town. Let's get them all there. But through this one woman, the whole town does come to Christ because they see the transformation in her life. Amen. Amen. That's what we're about. That's what we're all about. And then Jesus says this is my food. This is what fulfills me. This is what satisfies my soul. I got to tell you, when you are serving others, helping others, you will be at your most fulfilled. You will sense the purpose and the call of God on your life. When it's just about us, we miss the fulfillment that comes from seeing 22 teenagers get water baptized this year. From helping one person grow in Christ, that's where the fulfillment is. If you want a full of life faith, make it about others, not about you. I mean, the most joyous things that I think about and most fulfilling things that I think about happening in our church is people. It's not the lights. I mean, they're great. But that is not the most joyous, fulfilling thing going on. It is people. It's people like Eloise Ditchfield. Has a call of God on her life. Jesse and Eloise leading our youth ministry. So beautiful. People like Kaylee Karatz, Dan Karatz, Annalise Forsyth. Seeing that's the joy and the fulfillment. Seeing people living for God. So here's what I want us to catch. when it is all about us, this is what it's like. Now, this is going to get a little rough, but I love you. I love you. It's clarifying. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But scripture does show us, Proverbs 18:1, when it is all about us, look at this. An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends and against all sound judgment starts quarrels. So when there is an unfriendly, when we are just about us and we're not interested in others, connecting with others, when we're just about, you know what sets in? Selfishness and quarrels. Quarrels. Fighting about this, fighting about that amongst ourselves. Not any room for fighting the real enemies, fighting each other. Jessen had this picture for us as a church of a boxer stepping into the ring. And as the boxer steps into the ring, another boxer steps into the ring. And as the other boxer steps into the ring, you would assume that they were going to box each other. But in this picture that she sensed from God, they turned and stood together, ready to box side by side, not fighting each other. This is what we're talking about, that we aren't quarreling, gossiping, fighting amongst ourselves, comparing ourselves among ourselves, getting competitive with each other. We're not here to compete with each other. We're here to edify each other, encourage each other, build each other up in Jesus' name. So around here, we're not here pursuing our selfish desires. I mean, look at this, James 3:16, James, the brother of Jesus, he says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. When comparison and selfish ambition are present, you're going to find every evil. You're going to find, and this, listen to me, this isn't just in the world, this is in the church. He's not talking to people that don't know Christ, he's talking to people that do. Come on, we all need to grow up. How are you doing? I need to grow up. You need to grow up. We all need to grow up. God wants us to mature. It's a wonderful thing. You should never be ashamed of having things in your life that God is calling you to step into. Never, ever. It's a wonderful thing God wants us to move into. And we're human, so we do this. But this is why we need this scripture. This is why we need this encouragement. Let's stay united, not fighting amongst ourselves. Playing football, which I used to do, not so much now. It's very sad. But when I played football, we knew, my team, we would know that we had won when the other team started fighting amongst themselves. We'd be playing, and we would just watch. Didn't have to do much. Ah, you ball hog. Pass the ball, you idiot. Yelling at each other, fighting amongst themselves, competing with each other. As soon as they started quarreling on the same team, we knew we'd won. We knew we'd won. Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. As soon as we are fighting amongst ourselves, we've lost. And honestly, the enemy, he can just watch. He can just look on. Oh, it's the devil. No, it might be Daniel. No, not Daniel Karatz. But we blame the devil for things when it's actually, we need to get on the same page with each other. And we need to humble ourselves. In the culture of the kingdom, it is not about one-upping each other. It's about who can go the lowest. Who can go the lowest? Who can be the least in the kingdom is the greatest. It is not about being better, about being more gifted, about being more visible than someone else. No, it is about who can go the lowest. Who can serve? We're here to serve one another. And I love what Kaylee said last week. She said, if you're busy stirring up others to love and good deeds, you don't have time to stir up trouble. Another way of putting it is like if you're rowing a boat, when you're involved in rowing, you don't have time to rock. A lot of people are rocking the boat because they don't have a row in hand. They got, their hands are too free. They got too much time. And so we start rocking the boat. And I'm not saying rocket, I'm not saying we shouldn't be innovative. I'm not saying we shouldn't have new ideas. I'm talking about team. I'm talking about family. I'm talking about working together. When you're involved in rowing, you don't have time to rock it anymore. You got a row in your hand, and we can work together. We can get better, but we're going to row together. That rhymes, so it must be really spiritual and true. Okay, I'm going to land. You ready? Three practical things I believe we can do as a church, as Christians, to stir up one another to love and good deeds. So what is love? Matthew 22, 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they were sad, you see, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, good preacher joke, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophet. So when we talk about stirring each other up to love, we are talking about love for God and love for others. We are talking about the cross. The cross is both vertical and horizontal. You cannot say you love God if you hate your brother. You cannot say you love God, you have the love of God in you, if you hate others. To love God is to love others. It is one package. And so we are to stir each other up to love for God and love for others. And then good deeds, good works. Matthew 5, 14 to 16, Jesus talks about it as well. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Good works is not just being ethical. Good works is good deeds, acts of kindness, serving the community, being actively present in showing people what God looks like. How you doing? You ready? We're going to land this. This is just who we want to be. Church, you're amazing. And all the staff at school, you're amazing. Let's continue. Let's be this kind of church. The world needs to see what the church is really about more than ever. What are we really about? And we need proof of what we're about. So first thing we need to do is stir one another up by example. Number one, by example. Stir one another up to love and good deeds by example. The best way to help someone else in their love for God is your own love for God. I remember, anyone remember Show and Tell? I was telling our team this week. Remember Show and Tell at school? And you bring something and you show and you tell and you show and you tell. Well, in the kingdom, show more than you tell. When it comes to serving others, show more than you tell. When it comes to being an example, show more than you tell. I mean, because like telling really doesn't do a lot of good. You know what I'm saying? Like if you go around, hey, you, come here. Hey, you. You need to read your Bible more. Hey, you need to love people more. Hey, come on, you need to pray more. Walking around telling everyone what to do doesn't actually create good fruit. The best thing you can do is show. Show. Show people love. Show people grace. Show people what Jesus is like. Show them. Pray for them. Like Rita, who prays for us. We love you, Rita. Pray for people. Show. Come on, give it up for Rita. We love you. Show them. People learn by watching. What they see in you, they can catch and they can live it out. So we need to stir one another up by example. Number two, by inclusion. Bring people with you. Jesus was the master at this. Everything he did, he'd always have people with him. He'd heal the sick and then he'd debrief it with the disciples. He'd have a word for Peter and he'd do it in front of everybody. And then he'd tell Peter, by the way, you're Satan. Okay, so he would, it was all happening, but he did it with people. Jesus included people with him everywhere he went. One of the greatest honors in my life has been able to pray with Pastor Phil. He walks the beach in the last couple of years. He invited me to come and pray with him. And praying with him has been one of the greatest privileges in my life. If he sat down and gave me a three-hour lecture on prayer, I would not have grown in my prayer life the same way I have by being there with him. And this is the kind of church we want to be. Let's not tell people, hey, go to the Next Step Lounge and they'll help you. Let's include them. Hey, I'm going to come with you. Hey, I'm going to pray this week. Why don't you pray with me? Hey, I'm going to read this scripture this week. Why don't you read this scripture with me? Hey, come to Connect Group with me. Hey, come to church with me. So we can stir one another up. Number one, by example. Number two, by inclusion. And number three, by encouragement. By encouragement. Put faith in people. Put courage in people. Let's build each other up. And we're going to look at this more next week. But when I say this, Ben, you can join me. I'm done here. When I say this, when I say encourage, I mean, it is a bit of, we have a wonderful culture of encouragement where we encourage. And I think it's good to be encouraging. But what I'm talking about here is specific encouragement. Specific encouragement. Because, you know, it's lovely to say, you're amazing. You're awesome. You're great. But let's get really good at specific encouragement. Identifying specific things that we can encourage each other. Next steps that we can encourage each other to grow in. I want to share my Connect Group. We ran around in Connect Group. I'm not going to share names. Don't worry if you're in my Connect Group and you're feeling very nervous right now. But in Connect Group, we were talking about how we want to grow this year. So we're all sharing a step, and I, including me. And so one person said they want to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit in their prayer life, waiting on God. One person said they're going to start a Connect Group in their workplace. Amen. One person said they want to read their Bible more and they want to grow in God. One person was saying they want to move into praying out loud. How good is that? Been talking to God just internally, but starting to pray out loud. An 18-year-old said, I want to grow in maturity as a leader. An 18-year-old. And then some other guy said he wants to grow in not just reading through the word, but making more margin to stop and unpack the word. And that was me. That was me. I do the Bible in a year, but I want to create margin as I'm reading to stop, to unpack, to study. This is what I'm talking about. We can encourage each other in these specific things. And that's what it looks like to be a church purpose for others, to stir one another up to love and good deeds. Can you close your eyes with me? We love you, church. God's doing good things. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. Here's what we want you to know. Number one, sin is a real thing and sin separates us from God. What is sin? Sin is an archery term. It means to miss the mark. And if we have missed the mark, which all of us have, because none of us are perfect, and if you're perfect, you would be Jesus, but only Jesus is perfect. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is he died so that he could take our sin for us and pay the price that we could not pay. Jesus became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Sin separates us. So maybe today you are separated from God. And being better does not bridge the gap. Only faith in Jesus bridges the gap. The only way to be saved is to put your faith in Christ. And so here today, if you need to put your faith in Jesus, it would be our great joy and honor to lead you in a prayer to Christ. So right now, if that is you, we're going to count to three. We're going to lead you in this prayer. If that's you, all I want you to do is raise your hand and we're going to pray with you right now and lead you in this prayer to make Jesus your Lord. So here it is. Count of three. Not going to take you anywhere. Just going to lead you in this prayer. If that's you, count of three. One, two, three. Who's there today? You're saying, that's me. That's me. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to turn from my own way. Maybe you've been with God before, but have walked away. And you know, it's time to come back. If that is you, if that is you, I'll give you the word. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I turn from sin. I turn to you. Today, I receive forgiveness. I receive a brand new start. I receive eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, can you stand up with me as we close? I just want to pray for us. God, we just thank you for C3SYD. Thank you for this amazing church. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord, you're helping us grow. Thank you, Lord, for joy and fulfillment that comes from being others focused. Father, we pray, show us those we can be an example to. Show us those that we can lead the way by the way we live. Father, show us those that we can include, that we can bring close, that we can bring along the way. Father, show us those we can encourage. We can stir them up. We can share steps. We can share stories of growth and what you're doing. We encourage each other. Father, thank you for this month. Thank you, Lord, that you have great things for every individual and for your church. In Jesus' name, they all said, one more time, amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect with us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.